if you've been to an air show, you've seen them, the Blue Angels. They're the Navy's flight demonstration squadron zooming in formation in meticulously painted F-18s. I caught up with Lieutenant Commander John Hiltz as the Angels prepare to receive new recruits. He's the new number two pilot and right wing. He told me about the crew of 130 that makes the show happen day in and day out.
Every year about half of the crew changes. So people that are familiar with the Blue Angels know that there's about six airplanes that fly in our demonstration, but our team is comprised of about 130 people, 16 officers, and then about 110 enlisted personnel. So it really sort of takes a village to get those six jets in the air. And each year we have to select new personnel. Each member of the Blue Angels is hand-selected from the operational United States Navy and Marine Corps forces, and they'll serve 2 to 3 years on the team. So there's quite a bit of turnover every year, and that's important to renew the force. And then in reality, we're proud to represent the active duty Navy and Marine Corps, and then when we're finished with our tour with the Blue Angels, we go back to the operational fleet.
So of that 100 or so people, how many are actual pilots at the stick?
Okay, so there's seven F-18 pilots, and then there's three Marine Corps C-130 pilots. So of all those personnel on the team, only 10 are pilots. You know, three of them fly our logistics C-130 that we affectionately call Fat Albert, and then there's seven F-18 pilots. Six fly in the demonstration, and then one is our narrator and advanced pilot. He does our key influencer and media rides the day before each show.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's important to have the same pilots day after day in the same relative locations in the formation, so you make sure you keep it right.
You're exactly right. You know, I use a phrase, Latin phrase called repetitio est mater studiorum. Repetition is the mother of study. We like to do the same thing and put on the same show. It's a very perishable skill, and when you're flying as close as we are in our closest formation in the diamond portion of the show, we fly within 12 inches of each other's wingtips. So you've got four airplanes all within a foot of each other, and you can imagine that there's a lot of focused concentration and effort that it takes to get into that set. We certainly don't start out there, but through that repetition, we're able to put on a unique show that is impactful and also demonstrates the kind of capabilities of the United States Navy and Marine Corps.
And just one detail, how fast are the planes going when you are that close?
Probably between 300 and 350 miles an hour, and we'll do that formation at about 300 feet over the ground at our lowest point.
So really low, but relatively slow compared to what those planes are capable of.
Certainly, the top end speed, which we also demonstrate during another portion of our show, you kind of see the gamut of the capabilities of the F-18, and you'll see speeds as slow as 110 miles an hour, and you'll see speeds as fast as just under the speed of sound. So we really try and show a depth and range of the capabilities of the F-18.
All right, let's talk about the people there that are flying this. What makes an ideal Blue Angel first of all, let's talk about the pilots themselves. What does it take?
Right, so everybody that comes to the Blue Angels applies, and there's certain criteria that you need to apply, and that includes about 1,200 hours in tactical jets or in jet aviation in the Navy and Marine Corps. So there's really sort of a window in your career. After you've completed your first operational tour, and you're typically somewhere into your second shore tour, as we would refer to it, maybe an instructional role, you basically apply to the team, and that involves a series of things. Number one, sort of filling out an application, talking about your professional background, and then you're also going to come to the Blue Angels air shows of the previous season and kind of spend some time with the team and see if you're the right fit for the team, if the team is something that you're really interested in, and there's sort of a screening process there. Additionally, we're also sort of investigating the background of all the pilots that apply. You know, are they qualified? Are they capable? You know, once there's no flying tryout for the Blue Angels. You know, history has kind of shown this team, which has been around since 1946, that if you give us a pilot with a certain number of flight hours and a certain requisite skills, we're able to, through 120 training flights, take them from not knowing the Blue Angel demonstration to flying their first air show.
So it sounds like the mental component or the psychological makeup might be more important than the stick skills.
You certainly can't negate the flying ability, but there is a certain mental component and social component to this job. Obviously, as representatives of the Navy and Marine Corps, it's important that you're able to do that, and we do that every weekend from March to November. We spend about 300 days on the road throughout the United States doing so in different, in various communities. For instance, right now I'm in Duluth, Minnesota, and we're going to do an air show here this weekend. So we're in a different city every weekend, and you have to be able to kind of work through that whole season and be excited and be a team player every day. So that's sort of the pilot makeup, and then you transition into the other support roles. Well, there's a lot of support roles that go into it. We have a maintenance officer, a flight surgeon, three C-130 pilots, as I mentioned, a supply officer, a public affairs officer. You sort of see the gamut of support, and their application process is still very similar. It still involves having fleet experience and then transitioning to apply to the team and kind of going from there to be selected.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Commander John Hiltz. He's a right-wing pilot for the U.S. Navy Blue Angels. And what about those poor guys flying the C-130s? That's a four-engine transport, if I'm correct. What do they do? They don't get in formation with you.
They would never let you say those poor guys, because they love their job. They, you know, as a Marine Corps C-130 pilots, they are logistics specialists. And they also, before each show, put on a very dynamic flight demonstration in the C-130. You know, their show is about 8 minutes long. And it really, for a plane as big as the C-130 is, they really showcase the agility and the performance of that plane. So they love that role as well. And you can imagine that logistics and moving a team around to a different city every weekend is a Herculean task, and they are certainly up to par. And, you know, for instance, if we have an engine problem with one of our jets, they'll fly all the way back to Pensacola in the middle of the night, pick up an engine, and fly it back the next day to make sure that we have six jets ready for the demonstration at any given moment. So it really is a tremendous team effort, and it's fun to renew the team every year with new applicants. We'll have the guys that are going to be on next year's team are going to be showing up here in about a month, and they'll finish the rest of this season with us to kind of get acclimated to the pace or the operational tempo with the Blue Angels, and then we'll turn over in mid-November, and then the cycle starts all over again.
And what's it like being on the road that much? It's almost like a baseball team. You've got to do something really tough and precise day in, day out, and you're also traveling in between. Does
right.
the Navy give any special accommodations or quarters or food or some way to compensate for that?
No, we basically mirror the air show industry. We'll follow them around. So there's no, other than sort of a standard travel allowance, there's no extra accommodation given to us, but it is important that we are ready to go. You know, we are certainly well taken care of when we visit a city. Each air show has to set us up with a physical fitness facility, so we each Blue Angel pilot has to work out 6 days a week, and we tend to get into a nice routine and have those repetitive moments where we're able to take our standard template for our performance and drop that into different cities and different atmospheres. You can imagine last weekend we did a show in Chicago, Illinois, with a very iconic cityscape in the background. Well, that presented some unique challenges. So each week when we travel to a different city, we want to bring a standard template, but each American town has its own unique challenges. And it's fun to rise to the challenge each week and to represent the Navy and Marine Corps.
And what is the relationship between, in your opinion, between the physical workouts and the regularity of that and your mental fitness?
It's direct. It really is. I think there's a certain level of physicality that comes with flying in the demonstration when you're pulling, you know, upwards of 7.5 G's, you know, the G-forces on our bodies. If you aren't doing that and you're physically ready for that, for each flight, you're going to get run down, and also just traveling around the pace, you need to have that amount of energy that's required to sort of answer the call each week. And I really have found that physical fitness helps you, number one, alleviate any stress that may build up in traveling around, and number two, just keep your mind fresh. So I think we all take that regulation very seriously, and it's a great way for us to be able to exercise our mind as well as our body for each show.
And do you also practice, when you do practice, the art or the skill of getting away from one another quickly if that need should arise?
Well, luckily, I think that's why we value our application process so much, is that when we pick someone for the team, we want to make sure that they're the right fit, that there's a good synergy to the team, and that does take a lot of practice, and there is a certain amount of times where you might want to just, hey, I need to, you know, spend some time on my own. And, you know, when we travel around, we have, you can always sort of retreat to the sanctuary of your own hotel room, but we do spend a lot of time together, and it's important that we have developed a good bit of team chemistry, and everybody on the team is a professional Naval and Marine Corps officer, so we understand the responsibilities that we've been charged to uphold, and we tend to stay focused on that. We're very mission focused, and it's easy when you have a central goal for the team to focus on, i.e. the air show demonstration and our impact in each city. If you keep that in mind, it really aids in that teamwork aspect.
But what about breaking away in flight? In other words, what if someone says, hey, something's wrong, I got to get away from you guys? That could be dangerous in itself, trying to escape the formation.
Right, because it's a very scripted show. So the key to that point is, if you have a safety of flight issue or you have a malfunction during the show, is you have to be aware of where each element of the formation is during the show. So, yes, there are sort of procedures in place, and the key is to sort of know the sequence, know the template of the air show, have that memorized and know where everybody is, so you can make sort of intelligent decisions as to where to put your airplane or when to land your airplane in between maneuvers, to sequence yourself in between the maneuvers of all the other airplanes. So that is key. And when we're flying in close formation, it's very easy to tell if someone is not in their normal set. I think all of us have done this enough to where when we see something out of the ordinary, the hair on the back of our neck stands up and says, that's not quite right. And then it's quickly sort of realized that someone has a problem or is going to deviate from the standard sequence.
And a final question. I read once years ago that after every single performance, you have an extensive debrief, no matter how many times you've done it or how well that particular performance went. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. We have an extensive brief in which we close our eyes and it sort of what we call chair fly maneuvers for the demonstration and talk through each maneuver and move our hands, and then we fly the show. In the debrief, and this is really critical, and I think this is something that the Navy and Marine Corps and the military in general gets right more often than the civilian world does, is we sit down and we say, we admit all of our safety violations and all of our discrepancies, and that really holds ourselves accountable to each other. We say, here's all the things that I did wrong during this demonstration. Here's where I screwed up. Now we're going to admit those mistakes to each other, and now we're going to watch our performance in slow motion on video, and we'll be able to see, like, do my mistakes translate from what I saw in the airplane to what the audience sees from the show's perspective. So that is really critical to allow us to stay sharp, stay focused, and not allow sort of mission creep to come in and just say, well, that was good enough. Well, we don't really accept that when you're flying at the tolerances we have. So we really focus on getting better, and it's a great system that has allowed us over the years to fly these high performance demonstrations, and it's fun to see it renew itself every year with new officers showing up.